So I'd wash my hands, I'd introduce myself to the patient and the parent and confirm their identity. I'd ask for permission to undertake the examination after explaining what it entails and expose the patient appropriately for this exam. It's a cardiovascular exam, so I'd ideally have them from waist upwards. And I think we can go ahead and do it straight away because it's a three-year-old child. I'd start off by taking a look around the room to see if the patient's brought anything with them, any oxygen or medications or any aids.
No.
Okay. I'd have a closer look at the child. Do they look well or unwell?
They look well.
Is there any evidence of cyanosis or increased work of breathing?
No.
Okay. And then I'd have a ask for a full set of observations, if that's okay, paying a particular attention to the saturations and the blood pressure.
They're all within normal limits.
Okay. I would plot the height, weight, and head circumference of the child on a growth or appropriate chart. Do they look well-grown for their size? For their age, sorry?
Yes, they look well-grown.
Okay. Just looking at them, is there any evidence of any dysmorphic features? So looking at the placement of their eyes, their ears, their hairline?
No, nothing.
So no dysmorphism, yeah?
No dysmorphism.
Fine. I'd now take a systematic approach to examining them. So I'd have a look at their hands. I'd look for any signs of clubbing. So loss of the nail bed angle and loss of Shamrot's window.
No, there's no evidence.
Okay. Is there any signs of any splinter hemorrhages, Osler's nodes, or Janeway lesions?
How would you look for those?
So splinter hemorrhages are on the nails, and Osler's nodes and Janeway lesions are lumps on the dorsum of the hand. Sorry, the palmar aspect of the hand.
Nothing.
Okay, perfect. Is there any signs of pallor?
No pallor.
And is the patient warm to touch?
Patient is warm to touch.
Okay. And so I would then feel their radial and brachial pulse for rate, rhythm, volume, and character on both sides.
Okay. It's normal.
Okay. And then I would move on to, just before I forget, assess their femoral pulses and check for any radiofemoral delay as well.
There is no radiofemoral delay, and their femoral pulses are bilaterally present.
Perfect. What's the blood pressure?
It's normal for a three-year-old child.
Normal for a three-year-old child. Perfect. And so I'd then move on to examine the face. So is there any signs of any Kaiser Fleischer rings, any xanthomata, any pallor pulling down the child's eyelids?
No.
Okay. Any facial plethora at all?
No, nothing.
And having a look inside the mouth, is there any evidence of any cyanosis or a poor dentition?
No.
High arch palate?
No high arch palate.
Okay. And having a look at the neck, so the child's a bit young, so I wouldn't assess for JVP, but the carotid pulses, I'd feel them in turn. Are they good volume and character on both sides?
Good volume, good character.
Perfect. I then expose the patient, so I notice a median sternotomy scar. It looks well healed. Is there anything to find on the back or the sides in terms of scars?
No other scars are present.
No other scar.
Although there is one tiny scar to the left of the median sternotomy, just a horizontal 2 centimeter scar.
2 centimeter scar. Okay, perfect. I would then feel for the apex beat. I'd expect to find it in the midclavicular line on the left-hand side in the fourth or fifth intercostal space, but I would feel on both sides to make sure I'm not missing a dextrocardia.
It's present.
I would then feel for any heaves using the heel of my hand on the lower left sternal edge and on the apex beat. No heaves. And is there any displacement of the apex?
No.
Okay. I would then feel for thrills in the 4 valvular areas. So the upper right and left sternal edges, lower left sternal edge, and the apex.
No thrills.
No thrills. I would then listen to the heart sounds over all 4 areas, checking for heart sounds 1 and 2, any additional murmurs, any additional sounds?
The heart sounds are normal. Okay. You hear a murmur in the left upper sternal edge.
Left upper sternal edge, okay. And is it a pansystolic murmur? So I time it, obviously, with the pulse, so the brachial pulse.
It's an ejection systolic.
Ejection systolic murmur. And does it radiate anywhere? So I'd listen to the carotids, I'd listen to the back, and I'd listen to the axilla as well.
It's not radiating anywhere.
So it's non-radiating. Okay. And what grade is it? So it's not associated with a thrill, so it's probably grade 3 or less?
It's a grade 2 murmur.
Grade 2 murmur. Okay. I would then listen to the bases of both lungs for any pulmonary edema. Yep,
No pulmonary edema.
I would then get the child to lie flat and feel for any hepatosplenomegaly.
No hepatosplenomegaly.
And then I would check for peripheral edema as well. Pedal edema.
No pedal edema.
Okay. So to complete my examination, I just like to summarize if that's okay. So I examined a 3-year-old who presents to outpatient clinic.
Yeah.
Outpatient clinic with a median sternotomy scar suggestive of a previous invasive cardiac surgery. He is well with no signs of any heart failure, but does have an ejection systolic murmur that is less than grade 3 in the left upper sternal edge, and it's not radiating anywhere. My differentials for this child...
Is that 6 minutes?
Okay, so my differentials for this child include a pulmonary stenosis, but I would expect it to radiate to the back, a tetralogy of Fallot that's been corrected, but again, I would typically expect some radiation to the back with the murmur of this, and then I would also consider an ASD as well that has been corrected.
Okay, and... what other conditions are associated? Do you know of any syndromes that may be associated with pulmonary stenosis?
Yes, so Noonan syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a supravalvular pulmonary stenosis with allelgials.
Yes.
That's about it.
Okay, that's fine. So when would you consider operating on a child with tetralogy of Fallot?
So essentially, if there's any evidence of critical pulmonary stenosis, so if there's any evidence of cyanosis and the child's not adequately oxygenating, I would consider that. If the VSD is significantly large to cause Eisenmenger syndrome, if there's any evidence of heart failure associated with the condition, which this child doesn't have now but could have had in the past, and if there's any evidence of pulmonary hypertension, which probably wouldn't be the case because there's pulmonary stenosis, but yeah.
Yes. And what are the 4 associations of tetralogy of Fallot?
So you get an overriding aorta, you get a VSD, you get right atrial hypertrophy, and pulmonary stenosis.
Yes. So if you, what investigations would you do for a child who presents with tetralogy of Fallot?
So I would, at baseline by the bedside, do a full limb BP. I would do a pre and postductal SATs just to exclude any other cardiac pathology that would result in an abnormality in that. I would do a baseline ECG, which would give me an indication of if there's any hypertrophy of the ventricles or the atria. I do a chest x-ray to ascertain the size of the cardiac shadow and ultimately do an echo. This would obviously all be under the guidance, if I found anything, of a pediatric cardiologist. And I'd make the appropriate referrals after doing those baseline tests.
So I'd wash my hands, I'd introduce myself to Sarah and her parents and confirm their identity. I'd ask for permission to undertake the examination after explaining what it entails and expose Sarah appropriately for this exam. I'd like to have her in a vest if that's possible, at some point having a proper look at her chest. I'd ask for a chaperone if I feel like it's necessary. I would start off by taking a look around the room to see if Sarah's brought anything with her, any oxygen, any medication, any devices.
No oxygen.
Okay.
No medications or devices.
Okay. And does she look well or unwell?
She's not in distress.
Okay. And does she look well grown for her age and sex?
She looks a bit small, to be honest, but...
Okay. So yeah. I'd plot her height, weight, and head circumference on a growth-appropriate chart for sex and age.
It's small, yeah.
Okay, so she's small. I would then have a look at her face to look for any signs of any dysmorphism, looking at the placement of her eyes, ears... just general features.
No dysmorphic features.
Okay, and looking at her work of breathing, does she look cyanotic, or is she pale? Is there any recessions? Any?
She looks a bit blue, just her face.
Her face looks a bit blue, but the peripheries are okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're an outpatient, yeah?
She looks blue all over. She's
Okay, we're in outpatients?
We're in outpatients, yeah.
Okay, and she's not struggling to breathe?
She's not struggling to breathe. She looks really comfortable.
Okay, could I get some pre- and post-ductal sats if that's okay?
No, just proceed with your examination.
Okay, and can I get a blood pressure as well, or...?
No.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd start off by taking a look at her fingers. I'm looking for any signs of clubbing. I'd ask her to put her fingers together like that to look for any loss of Shamrock's window.
There is clubbing.
Okay. And I'm looking at her nails for any splinter hemorrhages or any Osler's nodes on her palms of her hands or Janeway lesions.
No.
Okay. Is she warm and well perfused or cool to touch?
She's a bit cool, but she looks really comfortable anyways.
What's her peripheral cap refill?
Less than 2 seconds.
Okay, I'd take her radial pulse. I'm checking for rate, rhythm, volume, and character.
Normal.
What's the rate?
The rate for this 10-year-old child is 60.
Okay, all right, so lower end. I'd check both her radial pulses at the same time to look for radio-radial delay.
No delay.
Okay, and before I forget, I'd asked her if it's okay to check her femoral pulses, and I'm checking for any radiofemoral delay.
No. Okay. No delay.
And are the femorals of good volume and character?
Yes.
Okay. I'm moving up her arm. I'm looking for any cannulation scars or any IV access scars.
She's had a couple of them.
Okay. And moving on to her face, I'd obviously take a blood pressure at the moment, but it doesn't look like I'm going to get one. So having a look at her face, you mentioned that there are no signs of any dysmorphism. Is there any pallor or jaundice or any Kaiser Fleischer rings in her eyes?
None of that.
Okay. Any facial plethora?
No.
And is the blueness of her mouth affecting the mucosal membranes?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. What is her dentition like?
Her dentition, what are you looking for?
So any caries?
No caries.
And any high arched palate?
No.
Okay, fine. All right, so just moving on to her neck, I'm looking for any previous access scars, so central access scars.
No central access scars.
Okay, I'll ask her to turn away from me to look on her left-hand side. I'm looking at her JVP. Any pulsation underneath the sternocleidomastoid?
No pulsations.
Okay, and then just looking at her chest, obviously maintaining dignity, is there any visible pulsations, any chest wall deformities, any scars on the front, sides, or back?
So there are no scars, there's no scars and there's no deformities.
So no scars and no deformities, the front, side, or back. Okay. I would then... check her apex beat. I'd expect to find it in the fourth and fifth or fifth intercostal space in the midclavicular line on the left hand side, but I check both sides to make sure that there's no dextrocardia.
So it is on the left side. Okay. But it's a bit displaced and it's more towards the axilla than the midclavicular line, so it's not on the axilla, but it's a bit further out.
Okay, and I'm feeling for any heaves or thrills. Heaves with the palm of my hand on the apex beat in the lower left sternal edge.
You hear, you feel a left parasternal heave.
Okay, and a thrill, so thrills in the right and left upper sternal edge, lower left sternal edge, and over the apex, using the tips of my fingers.
No thrills.
Okay, so no thrills. I'd listen to all four valvular areas, listening for heart sounds 1 and 2 and any additional heart sounds.
So heart sounds 1 is okay, 2 is a bit loud, and where are you listening for the, you hear 2 murmurs. Okay. In the left upper sternal edge, there's an ejection systolic murmur.
Okay.
Which is a bit soft.
Yeah.
And then there's also a pansystolic murmur on the left lower sternal edge.
Pansystolic murmur in the left lower sternal edge. Okay. All right. And then I would, is that time?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. I would complete my exam.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I'd complete my examination by doing the relevant maneuvers to emphasize the murmurs. I tried to grade them by asking them where it's loudest. I'd listen to the lung bases, check for edema, feel the abdomen for hepatosplenomegaly, and look at the groin for any scars. So in summary, I've examined a 10-year-old girl in outpatient clinic who presents cyanotic, but stable from a respiratory point of view. She has evidence of clubbing and has a heart rate of 60. I would like to check her saturations and her respiratory rate as well. Of note, she doesn't have any scars over her body suggestive of previous cardiac surgery or correction. And she has intact radioradial and radiofemoral pulses. My positive findings on auscultation is a loud S2, an ejection systolic murmur in the left upper sternal edge, and a pansystolic murmur in the lower left sternal edge, with a left ventricular heave suggestive of ventricular hypertrophy. So putting all my findings together, my top differential, so it would be a cyanotic heart disease that presents quite later on in life. My top differential would be tetralogy of Fallot. So the left upper sternal edge murmur is a pulmonary stenosis, and lower left sternal edge murmur is a VSD, which would combine them together. So that would be my top differential.
What were you saying?
An uncorrected TOF, essentially.
Yeah, uncorrected TOF. Okay, how would you manage this child?
So it's a bit unusual that she hasn't had any correction done. I would want to, first of all, take a full history to find out what she has had done in terms of investigations. I would do a respiratory examination as well. I would definitely do a chest x-ray to assess the size of her heart. I do an ECG as well in view of the left ventricular hypertrophy, and I would do an echo to characterize the anatomical defects that I suspect. I would definitely involve the pediatric cardiologist before doing any of this and run it through my consultant as well. She is cyanotic and is stable with that, so I wouldn't jump to giving her any oxygen or running down the acute path, but I think this needs to be investigated as soon as possible. So I would probably keep her as an admission if it was a new presentation, for sure.
So you do the echo, and so that's time up, but I'm just going to ask you one question. You do the echo, and the only cardiac, structural cardiac defect that you can see is a very large VSD.
Okay.
Is there another reason for the ejection systolic murmur in the left upper sternal edge?
Ejection systolic murmur in the left upper sternal edge. Yeah, so if you have a large VSD because of the pulmonary flow, you can get a murmur as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, this could be just an isolated VSD as well.
Yeah.
And I would worry about Eisenmenger syndrome then.